You love role-playing, science fiction, and history. What if there was a podcast that brought all these things you love together in a deep, dramatic experience you'll never forget? Enter The Twilight Histories, a campaign-style storytelling podcast that casts you as the hero. With The Twilight Histories, you will travel to exotic worlds spread across the multiverse. Some are familiar, others are totally exotic. You'll visit Egypt locked in an ice age. You'll follow Napoleon into India. You'll explore Venus terraformed by dinosaurs. Choose your adventure and experience a world out of time. The Twilight Histories was awarded Apple's Best of 2019. Listen to The Twilight Histories wherever you find your podcasts. Now, step on the platform and let's get you on your way.
Hello and welcome to A History of the United States, episode 153, The Articles of Confederation. Stanley Katz opens his 1987 essay, The American Constitution, A Revolutionary Interpretation, with an exploration of American mentality around the bicentennial of independence, particularly comparing 1976 with 1987. It certainly makes for an interesting line of thought. The date of American independence, as enshrined in the popular consciousness, is 1776. This is when the Declaration of Independence was signed, when the Founding Fathers decided a firm break with Britain would be the only way to address the problems they had been facing since the close of the Seven Years' War. Yet, if 1776 starts American independence, it doesn't really start American history. American history, really, begins with the Constitutional Convention of 1787 that established the framework still governing the United States to this day. The Constitution offers a sense of stability and continuity that other revolutionary moments can't provide as starting points. This gives us a fascinating little interlude of 6 years between 1783 and 1789, which are so easily overlooked but which are crucial to the creation of American identity. This is what we now turn our attention to. Over the next series of episodes, I want to look at the lay of the land politically after independence had been achieved, then move on to why some believed this system wasn't working. A variety of different dynamics will play out here. Sometimes this debate will be simplified into terms like North versus South, Coast versus Interior, merchants versus landowners, and cosmopolitans versus provincials. But, as always, we'll discover that the situation was more nuanced than this. This debate has gone down into history as one between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. We'll explore this battle around the states as the Federalists gathered to produce a new constitution for the United States and struggled to get it ratified. The period closes with the convening of the first United States Congress in 1789 and the inauguration of George Washington as the first President of the United States. It's really one of the most important periods of American history, with decisions made, or more importantly, not made, that would have huge repercussions down the centuries. I'm really excited to cover it, so let's start, shall we? The most logical place for us to start is to go back in time a few years, because we really need to look at the Articles of Confederation. To give it its full name, the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, which I am just going to call the Articles of Confederation, was the first constitution of the United States. The document had a troubled birth. The first draft of a constitution for the colonies, as they were at the time, was written by Benjamin Franklin in 1775, but it didn't get anywhere. Eventually, John Dickinson of Pennsylvania wrote a draft, which was then edited multiple times, before a final version was agreed in 1777. The Articles of Confederation had a prelude and a conclusion, with a substance of 13 articles, which was nicely poetic of them. the essence of the articles can be captured by the first three. Article 1. The style of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. Article 2. Each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right which is not by this confederation expressly delegated to the United States in Congress assembled. Article 3. The said states hereby severally enter into a firm league of friendship with each other for their common defence, the security of their liberties, and their mutual general welfare, binding themselves to assist each other against all force offered to or attacks made upon them or any of them on account of religion, sovereignty, trade, or any other pretense whatever. End quote. When I was planning this episode, I wanted to make a concerted effort to not poke fun at how weak the Articles of Confederation were. I didn't want to over-exaggerate anything. Then you get a sentence like, "The said states hereby severally enter into a firm league of friendship." Clearly, the Congress established by the Articles would have very limited power, only controlling what was explicitly delegated to it, and not much was delegated to it. Article 9 explores what powers Congress would have. It mostly centres around foreign policy, the military, and the post offices. But there is one crucial passage I would also like to quote. "The United States in Congress assembled shall have authority to ascertain necessary sums of money to be raised for the service of the United States, and to appropriate and apply the same for defraying the public expenses to borrow money or remit bills on the credit of the United States, transmitting every half year to the respective states an account of the sums of money so borrowed or emitted." End quote. To translate that legalese, basically, Congress would not have the authority to raise taxes itself. Instead, it would decide what funds it needed to raise and then send bills to each of the states asking for money. With no independent method of raising taxes, Congress was essentially powerless from its inception. It could not force the states to give it funds. No matter what other powers it may have, without the power to raise revenue, the central government was clearly secondary to the states. I won't get too much into how the Confederation worked in practice, but each state would send a delegation appointed by the state legislatures, with each state getting one vote. It would take 9 state votes to make most major decisions, such as declaring war or adding a new state to the Union. A special exception was made for Quebec, which would be permitted to join automatically. Remember that the Articles were drafted in 1776 and 1777, when there was still a hope of bringing Canada along with them. What the Articles proposed was about as small a central government as you can imagine, while still technically being a government, but even this proved difficult for all states to agree on. It's difficult to understand this, armed with knowledge of what would come later, but at the start of the Revolution, this was a group of separate colonies who had very little experience of working together, and they were taking a big step by unifying to form a country. It would mean a degree of cooperation and trust that would take time to build. Virginia was the first state to ratify the Articles, which it did in December 1777. Other states ratified throughout early 1778, first South Carolina, then New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Georgia, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and North Carolina. New Jersey ratified in November 1778, Delaware in February 1779, leaving Maryland as the lone holdout. Maryland did have a reason for being cautious about signing up, the so-called landless state question. To fully understand the landless state question, we need to go back to the first episodes of this podcast, where we discussed the charters of the early colonies, particularly their land claims. The charters of Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, Massachusetts, and Connecticut went far into the interior, and these states were prepared to claim lands up to the Mississippi River as theirs. Other colonies had charters that restricted their holdings to within a limit of the Atlantic. These were the landless states: Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Rhode Island, and Maryland. While Delaware and New Jersey both held out longer than the other states, Maryland was particularly resistant. It was so close to Virginia, and worried that if Virginia could claim land to the Mississippi, it would dwarf Maryland, leaving it powerless. Maryland couldn't surrender its future unless it had assurances that the lands to the west belonged to the United States collectively, not to particular states. Eventually, Thomas Jefferson was able to persuade Virginia to renounce their claims. The West would be divided into new states and admitted on equal terms with the old. With this out of the way, Maryland ratified the Articles in February 1781, and the United States was truly born, ushering in what is usually known as either the Confederation period, or as a then 20-year-old John Quincy Adams would call it in 1787, a critical period. It really was a critical period. Economic instability would combine with crises such as Shays' Rebellion, until a group of leaders decided that something had to be done and a new constitutional convention would be called. This is where we'll leave things for the moment, ready to jump into the chaos next time out. But two things before I go. First, just want to give a shout out to the Twilight Histories podcast, a longtime friend of the show. The latest episode is The Weird Tales of America, so if you're listening to this, you will probably enjoy listening to that too. And secondly, since you know I love extended quotes from primary documents, I'm going to quote in full the Articles of Confederation. This is the end of the episode, so if you don't want to go through it, feel free to stop listening now. It's okay, I won't be offended, you're not going to miss anything. Okay, if you're still listening, kudos to you. Can you believe those other guys? Not wanting to listen to the full Articles of Confederation. What bores. Anyway, should we just dive into it, okay? Preamble. To all to whom these presents shall come, we, the undersigned delegates of the states, affixed to our names, send greeting. Whereas the delegates of the United States of America in Congress assembled did on the 15th day of November, in the year of our Lord 1777, and in the second year of the independence of America, agree to certain articles of confederation and perpetual union between the states of New Hampshire, Massachusetts Bay, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, in the following words, viz. Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union between the states of New Hampshire, Massachusetts Bay, Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. 13 articles. Article 1. The style of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. Article 2. Each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right, which is not by this confederation expressly delegated to the United States in Congress assembled. Article 3. The said states hereby severally enter into a firm league of friendship with each other for their common defence, the security of their liberties, and their mutual and general welfare, binding themselves to assist each other against all force offered to or attacks made upon them, or any of them, on account of religion, sovereignty, trade, or any other pretense whatever. Article 4. The better to secure and perpetuate mutual friendship and intercourse among the people of the different states in this union, the free inhabitants of these states, paupers, vagabonds, and fugitives from justice excepted, shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of free citizens in the several states, and the people of each state shall have free ingress and regress to and from any other state, and shall enjoy therein all the privileges of trade and commerce, subject to the same duties, impositions, and restrictions as the inhabitants thereof respectively, provided that such restrictions shall not extend so far as to prevent the removal of property imported into any state to any other state, of which the owner is an inhabitant, provided also that no imposition, duties, or restriction shall be laid by any state on the property of the United States, or either of them, if any person guilty of, or charged with treason, felony, or other high misdemeanors in any state shall flee from justice and be found in any of the United States, he shall, upon demand of the governor or executive power of the state from which he fled, be delivered up and removed to the state having jurisdiction of his offence. Full faith and credit shall be given in each of these states to the records, acts, and judicial proceedings of the courts and magistrates of every other state. Article 5. For the more convenient management of the general interests of the United States, delegates shall be annually appointed in such manner as the legislature of each state shall direct, to meet in Congress on the first Monday in November, in every year, with the power reserved to each state to recall its delegates, or any of them, at any time within the year, and to send others in their stead for the remainder of the year. No state shall be represented in Congress by less than 2, nor by more than 7 members, and no person shall be capable of being a delegate for more than 3 years in any term of 6 years, nor shall any person, being a delegate, be capable of holding any other office under the United States, for which he or another for his benefit receives any salary, fees, or emolument of any kind. Each state shall maintain its own delegates in a meeting of the states, and while they act as members of the Committee of States, in determining questions in the United States in Congress assembled, each state shall have one vote. Freedom of speech and debate in Congress shall not be impeached or questioned in any court or place out of Congress, and the members of Congress shall be protected in their persons from arrests and imprisonments during the time of their going to and from and attendance on Congress, except for treason, felony, or breach of the peace. Article 6. No state, without the consent of the United States in Congress assembled, shall send any embassy to, or receive any embassy from, or enter into any conference agreement, alliance, or treaty with any king, prince, or state, nor shall any person holding any office of profit or trust under the United States, or any of them, except of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state, nor shall the United States in Congress assembled, or any of them, grant any title of nobility. No 2 or more states shall enter into any treaty, confederation, or alliance, whatever between them, without the consent of the United States in Congress assembled, specifying accurately the purposes for which the same is to be entered into and how long it shall continue. No state shall lay any imposts or duties which may interfere with any stipulations in treaties entered into by the United States in Congress assembled, with any king, prince, or state, in pursuance of any treaties already proposed by Congress to the courts of France and Spain. No vessels of war shall be kept up in time of peace by any state, except such number only as shall be deemed necessary by the United States in Congress assembled for the defence of such state or for its trade, nor shall any body of forces be kept up by any state in times of peace, except such number only as in the judgment of the United States in Congress assembled shall be deemed requisite to garrison the forts necessary for the defence of such state. But every state shall always keep up a well-regulated and disciplined militia, sufficiently armed and accounted, and shall provide and constantly have ready for use in public stores a due number of field pieces and tents, and a proper quantity of arms, ammunition, and camp equipage. No state shall engage in any war without the consent of the United States in Congress assembled, unless such a state be actually invaded by enemies, or shall have received certain advice of a resolution being formed by some nation of Indians to invade such state, and the danger is so imminent as to not admit of a delay till the United States in Congress assembled can be consulted. Nor shall any state grant commissions to any ships or vessels of war, nor letters of marque or reprisal, except it be after a declaration of war by the United States in Congress assembled, and then only against the kingdom or state and the subjects thereof against which war has been so declared, and under such regulations as shall be established by the United States in Congress assembled, unless such state be infested by pirates, in which case vessels of war may be fitted out for that occasion and kept so long as the danger shall continue, or until the United States and Congress assembled shall determine otherwise. Article 7. When land forces are raised by any state for the common defence, all officers of or under the rank of colonel shall be appointed by the legislature of each state respectively, by whom such forces shall be raised, or in such as state shall be directed, and all vacancies shall be filled up by the state which first made the appointment. Article 8. All charges of war and all other expenses that shall be incurred for the common defence or general welfare, and allowed by the United States in Congress assembled, shall be defrayed out of a common treasury, which shall be supplied by the several states in proportion to the value of all land within each state, granted to or surveyed for any person, as such land and the buildings and improvements thereon shall be estimated according to such mode as the United States in Congress assembled shall from time to time direct and appoint. The taxes for paying that proportion shall be laid and levied by the authority and direction of the legislatures of the several states within the time agreed upon by the United States in Congress assembled. Article 9. The United States, in Congress assembled, shall have the sole and exclusive right and power of determining on peace and war, except in the cases mentioned in the 6th article of sending and receiving ambassadors, entering into treaties and alliances, provided that no treaty of commerce shall be made whereby the legislative power of the respective states shall be restrained from imposing such imposts and duties on foreigners as their own people are subjected to, or from prohibiting the exportation or importation of any species of goods or commodities whatsoever, of establishing rules for deciding in all cases what captures on land or water shall be legal, and in what manner prizes taken by land or naval forces in the services of the United States shall be divided or appropriated, of granting letters of marque and reprisal in times of peace, appointing courts for the trial and piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and establishing courts for receiving and determining, finally, appeals in all cases of captures, provided that no member of Congress shall be appointed a judge of any of the said courts. The United States in Congress assembled shall also be the last resort on appeal in all disputes and differences, now subsisting, or that hereafter may arise, between two or more states concerning boundary, jurisdiction, or any other cause whatever, which authority shall always be exercised in the manner following. Whenever the legislative or executive authority or lawful agent of any state in controversy with another shall present a petition to Congress stating the matter in question and praying for a hearing, notice thereof shall be given by order of Congress to the legislative or executive authority of the other state in controversy, and a day assigned for the appearance of the parties by their lawful agents, who shall then be directed to appoint by joint consent commissioners or judges to constitute a court for hearing and determining the matter in question. But if they cannot agree, Congress shall name 3 persons out of each of the United States, and from the list of such persons, each party shall alternatively strike out 1, the petitioners beginning, until the number shall be reduced to 13, and from that number, not less than 7, nor more than 9 names, as Congress shall direct, shall in the presence of Congress be drawn out by lot, and the persons whose names shall be so drawn, or any 5 of them, shall be commissioners or judges, to hear and finally determine the controversy, so always as a major part of the judges who shall hear the cause shall agree in the determination. And if either party shall neglect to attend at the day appointed without showing reasons which Congress shall judge sufficient, or being present, shall refuse to strike, the Congress shall proceed to nominate 3 persons out of each state, and the Secretary of Congress shall strike in behalf of such party, absent or refusing, and the judgment and sentence of the court to be appointed, in the manner before prescribed, shall be final and conclusive. And if any of the parties shall refuse to submit to the authority of such court, or to appeal or defend their claim or cause, the court shall nevertheless proceed to pronounce sentence or judgment, which shall, in like manner, be final and decisive, the judgment or sentence, and other proceedings being in either case transmitted to Congress and lodged among the Acts of Congress for the security of the parties concerned, provided that every commissioner, before he sits in judgment, shall take an oath to be administered by one of the judges of the Supreme or Superior Court of the state, where the cause shall be tried, well and truly to hear and determine the matter in question according to the best of his judgment without favour, affection, or hope of reward. Provided also that no state shall be deprived of territory for the benefit of the United States. All controversies concerning the private rights of soil claimed under different grants of two or more states, whose jurisdictions as they may respect such lands, and the states which passed such grants are adjusted, the said grants, or either of them, being at the time claimed to have originated antecedent to such settlement of jurisdiction, shall, on the petition of either party to the Congress of the United States, be finally determined as near as may in the same manner as is before prescribed for deciding disputes respecting territorial jurisdiction between different states. The United States in Congress assembled shall also have the sole and exclusive right and power of regulating the alloy and value of coin struck by their own authority or by that of the respective states, fixing the standard of weights and measures throughout the United States, regulating the trade and managing all affairs with the Indians, not members of any of the states, provided that the legislative right of any state within its own limits be not infringed or violated, establishing or regulating post offices from one state to another, throughout all the United States, and exacting such postage on the papers passing through the same as may be requisite to defray the expenses of the said office, appointing all officers of the land forces for the service of the United States, excepting regimental officers, appointing all officers of the naval forces and commissioning all officers whatever in the service of the United States, making rules for the government and regulation of the said land and naval forces, and directing their operations. The United States in Congress assembled shall have authority to appoint a committee to sit in the recess of Congress, to be denominated a Committee of the States, and to consist of one delegate from each state, and to appoint such other committees and civil officers as may be necessary for managing the general affairs of the United States, under their direction, to be appointed one of their number to preside, provided that no person be allowed to serve in the office of President more than 1 year in any term of 3 years, to ascertain the necessary sums of money to be raised for the service of the United States, and to appropriate and apply the same for defraying the public expenses, to borrow money, or emit bills on the credit of the United States, transmitting every half year to the respective states an account of the sums of money so borrowed or emitted, to build and equip a navy, to agree upon the number of land forces, and to make requisitions from each state for its quota, in proportion to the number of white inhabitants in such state, which requisition shall be binding, and thereupon the legislature of each state shall appoint the regimental officers, raise the men and cloth, arm and equip them in a soldier-like manner, at the expense of the United States, and the officers and men so clothed, armed and equipped, shall march to the place appointed, and within the time agreed on by the United States in Congress assembled. But if the United States in Congress assembled shall, on consideration of circumstances, judge proper that any state should not raise men, or should raise a smaller number than its quota, and that any other state should raise a greater number of men than the quota thereof, such extra number shall be raised, officered, clothed, armed, and equipped in the same manner as the quota of such states, unless the legislature of such state shall judge that such extra number cannot be safely spared out of the same, in which case they shall raise, officer, clothe, arm, and equip as many of such extra number as they judge can be safely spared, and the officers and men so clothed, armed, and equipped, shall march to the place appointed and within the time agreed on by the United States in Congress assembled. The United States in Congress assembled shall never engage in a war, nor grant letters of marque and reprisal in time of peace, nor enter into any treaties or alliances, nor coin money, nor regulate the value thereof, nor ascertain the sums and expenses necessary for the defence and welfare of the United States, or any of them, nor emit bills, nor borrow money on the credit of the United States, nor appropriate money, nor agree upon the number of vessels of war to be built or purchased, or the number of land or sea forces to be raised, nor appoint a commander-in-chief of the army or navy, unless 9 states assent to the same, nor shall a question on any other point except for adjourning from day to day be determined unless by the votes of a majority of the United States in Congress assembled. The Congress of the United States shall have the power to adjourn, to any time within the year, and to any place within the United States, so that no period of adjournment be for a longer duration than the space of 6 months, and shall publish the journal of their proceedings monthly, except such parts thereof relating to treaties, alliances, or military operations, as in their judgment require secrecy, and the yeas and nays of the delegates of each state on any question shall be entered on the journal, when it is desired by any delegate, and the delegates of a state, or any of them, at his or their request, shall be furnished with the transcript of the said journal, except such parts as are above excepted, to lay before the legislatures of the several states. Article 10. The committee of the states, or any 9 of them, shall be authorized to execute, in the recess of Congress, such of the powers of Congress as the United States in Congress assembled, by the consent of 9 states, shall from time to time think expedient to vest with them, provided that no power be delegated to the said committee, for the exercise of which, by the Articles of Confederation, the voices of 9 states in Congress of the United States assembled is a requisite. Article 11. Canada acceding to this Confederation, and joining in the measures of the United States, shall be admitted into, and entitled to all the advantages of this Union, but no other colony shall be admitted into the same unless such admission be agreed to by 9 states. Article 12. All bills of credit emitted, monies borrowed, and debts contracted by, or under the authority of Congress, before the assembling of the United States, in pursuance of the present Confederation, shall be deemed and considered as a charge against the United States, the payment and satisfaction whereof the said United States and the public faith are hereby solemnly pledged. Article 13. Every state shall abide by the determinations of the United States in Congress assembled, on all questions which by this Confederation are submitted to them, and the articles of this Confederation shall be inviolably observed by every state, and the Union shall be perpetual, nor shall any alteration at any time hereafter be made in any of them, unless such an alteration be agreed to in a Congress of the United States, and be afterwards confirmed by the legislatures of every state. Conclusion. And whereas it hath passed the great governor of the world to incline the hearts of the legislatures, we respectfully representing Congress, to approve of, and to authorise us to ratify the said Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, know ye that we the undersigned delegates, by virtue of the power and authority to us given for that purpose, do by these presents, in the name and in behalf of our respective constituents, fully and entirely ratify and confirm each and every of the said Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, and all and singular the matters and things therein contained. And we do further solemnly plight and engage the faith of our respective constituents, that they shall abide by the determinations of the United States in Congress assembled on all questions which by the said Confederation are submitted to them, and that the articles thereof shall be inviolably observed by the states we respectfully represent, and the Union shall be perpetual. In witness thereof, we have hereunto set our hands in Congress, done at Philadelphia, in the state of Pennsylvania, the 9th day of July, in the year of our Lord 1778, and in the 3rd year of the independence of America. End quote. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.